Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Gospel. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He didn't want anyone to know it, for he was teaching the disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Greatness is a concept of a state of superiority afflicting a person or object in a particular place or area. Greatness can also be attributed to individuals who possess a natural ability to be better than all others. That's a quote from Wikipedia. Let's be honest here. I don't know about you, but that's not how I've lived most of my life. That's not what I see happening in much of our country. That's probably not what most of us were told or taught growing up. Sure, we might have heard that verse in Sunday school or church and even agreed with it, but when Monday came, things were different. For most of us, I suspect Monday greatness is about being number one, a winner, a success. It's about power, control, wealth, fame, reputation, status, and position. Have you ever seen the losing Super Bowl team dancing around Monday morning with two fingers in their air shouting, "We're number two"? Probably not. You probably never will. Can you imagine a political slogan making America last? Or a servant of other countries? And who wants to be a servant at all, anyway? That's poor and uneducated, minorities or foreigners, and those who can get away for paying less than a living wage. At least that's often how it works today. Being last, being servant of all, is not what we usually strive for in this culture. That's not true greatness to which we Americans aspire. If being great, holding the number one position, means being last of all and the servant of all, then we have completely misunderstood what greatness is really about. And the disciples don't understand greatness any more than we do. "What were you arguing about along the way?" Jesus asked them. But they were silent, For they argued with one another about who amongst them was the greatest. Jesus didn't get an answer to his question. Only silence. It was the silence of, you know, having been caught, found out. Jesus isn't asking for their sake, for his sake, but for theirs. He seems to have already known what they were talking about. Their argument happened on a public road, out in the open. His question, however, is asked in the privacy and interior space of a house. This is about more than a change in physical location. Jesus is moving the conversation inward. He's not gathering information for himself, but inviting the disciples' self-reflection on what it really means to be great. He's presenting the disciples with an image and the reality of their better selves. And he is doing that for us as well. Jesus is not saying that we should not or cannot be great. He never says that. Rather, he is asking us to reframe our understanding of greatness. What does it mean and look like for you and me to be great in today's world? That's the question. Jesus answers that question by taking a little child in his arms and saying to the disciples, "Whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." I want us to be careful here. Jesus does not say that greatness is being a child. And he doesn't say that greatness is being childlike. Greatness is in welcoming and loving the child. Now that doesn't sound too difficult or too challenging. Who wouldn't welcome a little child? But Jesus isn't talking about the child. He's talking about what the child represents. We so romanticize and sentimentalize children and childhood in today's culture that it can be difficult to understand what Jesus is getting at. The child is a symbol for something else. The child is a symbol of vulnerability, powerlessness, and dependency. The child is in the time of Jesus. The child had no rights, no status, no economic value. The child was a consumer and not a producer. Greatness, Jesus says, is in welcoming and receiving into our arms one like this, regardless of his or her age. Greatness never puts itself in a position of superiority over someone else. It's not about me, my nation, my tribe, my people, my religion, my politics, my bank account, my house, my job, my accomplishments, my reputation, my status. Our greatness is revealed in our service and our care of others, regardless of her or his ability or willingness to pay, repay, or return the favor. When Jesus talked about loving others, even when they don't love you, doing good to those who do not do good to you, lending without expectation of repayment, and inviting to supper those who cannot invite you back, he was describing greatness. Greatness comes to us when we share with others who have nothing to share with us. Think of the young boy who shared his 5 loaves and 2 fish with 5,000 people who contributed nothing but their hunger. He was great. Last week I sat in a meeting with a dozen other clergy around the table listening to them discuss how they could better feed the hungry in our town of Cody. They are the great ones for even sitting down and doing that. Greatness comes when we forgive one who has neither asked for our forgiveness nor changed his or her behavior. Those who refuse to carry bitterness or envy towards others. They're the great ones. When we respond to the needs of others, when we refuse thoughts and actions of hatred and prejudice, then greatness comes. Our refusal to objectify the opposite sex or to join in jokes about minorities or foreigners is an act of greatness. When we overcome fear, tear down walls, and make room for one who is different, vulnerable, and in need, then we are great. Last week I heard a little girl pray that she should be kind to we should be kind to each other. I witnessed a girl who was taking steps towards greatness in our society. Greatness is not something to be achieved or earned. It is a quality that arises with us when our lives are in balance and we step into our better selves. That's the life that Jesus offers to us. That's a life I want to live. I want to be great. Don't you? This kind of greatness happens in the simple, ordinary, and mundane. It often goes unnoticed, unnamed, but it's there. Greatness is always a choice before us. You know what tomorrow is, don't you? It's Monday. You knew that. A new week, a new chance to be a great one in our community. Jesus set Monday's child before us, and Monday's greatness will tempt and call us. But there is another greatness, the greatness of the last and the greatness of the servant of all. I wonder who the child is that Jesus will continue to set before us. And I wonder how the disciples, you and me, will take this old message from the gospel and enact it in the days to come. In a culture that's all about me, 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 it's a hard thing to do. But the lesson is that whoever wants to be first must be last and servant to all. So let me know how your Monday goes. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us join in saying together the statement of faith. Is it in your bulletin? It is.
Yes, okay. It's in page 6 at the top.
Okay. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. The song for the offering is Everybody's Got Something to Offer. Children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, for all in need. God of community, we pray for the church around the world. Unite us in our love for you. Help us overcome our divisions, that we are encouraged to work together for your sake. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of creation, we pray for this hurting earth. Awaken in us a new desire to care for this world and empower us to support agencies, organizations, and individual efforts to heal our environment. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of cooperation, we pray for nations of the world embroiled in conflict. Inspire leaders to listen to each other and work towards peaceful solutions to disagreements. Protect the vulnerable, especially children, who cannot find safety in their home or country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of comfort, we pray for all who live with mental or physical illness, Help them find appropriate care. Bring healing and wholeness when the path forward seems bleak. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of compassion, we pray for the young people in this congregation. Renew in us your call to welcome the children in our midst. As they grow, strengthen their faith and our commitment to them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of consolation, we give you thanks for our loved ones who have died and pray for all who grieve today. Shine your grace on us, on all your saints. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation,
and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Let us come forward and commune together. blessing. Or did we do the communion hymn? We did?
The blessing.
The blessing, okay. May the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as a chosen people of God. Let us sing together. Experience and express your happiness about that. And I'd like you to go in peace and know that Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.